World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, Jonathan, I'm a little bit late behind the scene here a little bit. While we're talking here right now, Jonathan, pull up for me Phil Collins coming in the air tonight, because that's where I feel today, folks. See if you can find that, John. YouTube, Phil Collins, I can feel it coming in the I have an unbelievable anticipation. I don't know what it's all about. I don't know whether it's doom or gloom. I'm not a doom or gloom guy. You know that. I'm either up or I'm getting up. Boy, oh boy, Jonathan is Johnny on the spot. And pull that up a little bit and see if anybody else out there gets a feel for this. Go ahead. Not real religious here, right? Not real spiritual. Lord, just bless our time together here. Okay, that's good enough. Anybody feel it coming in the air tonight? I don't even know. I don't know what it is. Like I said, I'm not a doomer gloomer. Got this huge eclipse coming and looking around and everything's going on. Look, hey, folks, listen, this, I think it was Billy Graham said years ago, if God doesn't judge America, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. We all understand that, right? And so I'm not one of those guys. I don't really get into end time eschatology and, you know, I just don't. That doesn't mean I'm right. Doesn't mean that at all. I don't focus my whole life on Jerusalem and Israel and the red heifer. I just don't. Now, all that stuff could be applicable and could be true, but that's not where I live my life. I live my life, as I always tell everybody, I'm either up or getting up. I'm the ultimate optimist. My mom always called me a cockeyed optimist. I can remember her saying that when I was a young guy, because that's the way I've lived my life. I'm either up or I'm getting up, right? I'm either up or I'm getting up. But I'm beginning to look around and see that, man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. I don't know if I can do that or not. I'm going to do that. Jonathan, keep me straight here on this. I'm going to show you something. And this is not, bear with me a second, folks. This is not to besmirch anybody, okay? It's not to besmirch anybody. But, you know, we all know. Well, let's start here, Johnny. Pull up Joe Biden's Easter proclamation. Now, I'm going to ask yourself something, folks. You think this was by accident? Do you think it was by accident? That would be number four, John. Do you think it would be by accident that President Joe Biden on Easter would call for a national, what is it? Transgender appreciation, love, whatever day. Do you think there was anybody in the White House anywhere along tapped him on the shoulder and said, Mr. President, you might want to wait. That's Easter Sunday. You might, Mr. President, you know, about 70% of Americans celebrate Easter Sunday. Mr. President, you might. No, he didn't do that, folks. And for us to sit here and think that that kind of stuff happened is an accident, well, must have been, yeah, you're born at night, but wasn't last night, right? Huh? Something nefarious is going on. And I'll tell you what it is, and I've been telling you for a long time. Are you listening to me? They hate white evangelical Protestants. They hate us with a passion. They hate us. Now, when I say they, I don't just focus on the Democrats, right? I don't just focus on them. We're smart enough to realize that there's a political party. There's a political team that both sides are part of. And if you haven't picked that one up, I don't know what to tell you. So I'm not going to read to you. As we gather with loved ones, remember Jesus' sacrifice. See, they did this on purpose. As we gather with loved ones, we remember Jesus' sacrifice. We pray for one another and cherish the blessings of dawn of new possibilities. And with wars and conflict taking torn innocent lives around the world, we renew our commitment to work for peace, security, and dignity for all people. Everybody say amen. We're with you on that, Joe. We're with you on that, Jeff. From our family to yours, happy Easter, and may God bless you. Oh, that's nice. Scroll on down, Johnny. Huh? Oh, well, that's it. All right. That's all he said about Easter. That's all he said about Easter. But we have a proclamation of Joe Biden on what? I didn't copy it. Doesn't matter. On his recognition of transgenders on Easter Sunday. So you can find out, John, because some people don't know about it. Yeah, that somebody just said Obama's the one that gave the real order on that. Obama was a Muslim freak acting like a Christian. And most Christians weren't even smart enough to understand the difference. They didn't even get it. We don't even get it. And so from the highest office in the land, the president of the United States hoists his leg and pees on American Christianity. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Somebody say amen. Somebody call it for what it was. Nobody out there certainly thinks this was an accident. Nobody thinks this was an accident, right? Nobody does. Nobody does. I'm sorry, John. I can't. Don't trust me, folks. Trust me. He called for, what is it, Transgender Appreciation Day or something ridiculous on Easter Sunday. On Easter Sunday. Wasn't by accident. You can stop looking, Johnny. Stop looking. And then I saw this. That I just looked at, well, back in the past. He recognized Ramadan on March 10th. And, you know, he said nice things about the Muslims. I'm cool. I guess I'm cool with all that stuff. See, until we come back to the realization that we were founded and once we're a Christian nation, and until Christians stop being scared of standing up and speaking the truth. See, to me, this is an impeachable offense if the church had any courage. But how can the church, when the church is doing what? Celebrating Easter and Good Friday and Christmas, falling into all these pagan holidays and expecting the God of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to honor us, to honor our stance. Brian Cunningham found it. Click on that. Click on that. Thank you, Brian. It's in the chat, Johnny. I can't believe I couldn't find it. So he recognizes sexual deviance, folks, sexual deviancy on Easter Sunday, proclamation of Transgender Day of Visibility. I'm proud that my administration has stood for justice from the start, working to ensure the LGBTQ community can live openly in safety with dignity and respect. I'm proud to have appointed transgender, yada, blah, 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 blah. Transgender Americans are part of the American family. Easter Sunday, whether serving their communities, blah, blah, they deserve and are entitled to the same rights. What about unborn babies, Joe? What about unborn babies? What about the J6ers, Joe? They deserve and are entitled to the same rights and freedom as every American. But extremists, that'd be me, but extremists are proposing hundreds of hateful laws. It's not hate, it's love. They're not hate laws, they're love laws, Joe. That target and terrify transgender kids. Are you kidding me? We're after transgender kids. Folks, do you understand how nefarious and wicked and evil this stuff is? These bills attack freedom and make your own health. Cutting off the dinger. Let me ask you something, folks. Do you think we should be giving alcohol and drugs to children under 18 years old without their parents' consent? No? But you're okay cutting off them, mutilating them? You okay giving them hormone blockers under that? Are you kidding me? At the same time, my administration is working to stop the bullying using all the words. If you as a church cannot wake up and understand what's going on, I'm not going to go on down through this. This is blasphemous. Blasphemous. Now, I'm going to show you something. And look, I don't want anybody to take this wrong. Let me find it here, Lord. Lord, help me today. Help me today. I don't want anybody to take this wrong because I know the guy that I'm going to show you here. And he's a good man. And I don't mean it to be. I don't mean it to be in any way, shape, or form disrespectful to him. If I can find a daggone thing here this morning, bear with me. Because I wonder how many times this happened. This is like unbelievable. Satan is all after me here this morning. Let's do that. That'll do it. I'm gonna show you real quickly a clip from Pastor Les Bowling. God bless Pastor Les Bowling, because at least he had the boldness to stand up and say something at his church. And I'm sorry, I tried to email this to me. It's too big a file. I don't know how to do it. So I'm going to show you on my phone so that you can hear Pastor Les, what he says to his congregation.
Proclamation to declare this day, March 31st, 2000, it's Transgender Visibility Day. I felt it important as Pastor of Eagle Rock Church and Apostle of Eagle Rock Covenant Network and Eagle Rock Ministries as a whole to officially reject this presidential proclamation and to refuse to acknowledge the attempted perversion of arguably the most celebrated and holiest day that we rejoice in.
You hear the people? The people want more of it! Okay, now let me ask you a question. God bless you, Pastor Les, for at least standing up and saying something. Thank you for doing that. But listen, is it just me, or should our pastors standing in the pulpit declare war on the wicked government? Huh? Rather than just standing up and say we believe in Jesus and he's coming back and faithful, should we declare war on him? War on the government that would smack Christ in the face on Easter Sunday. We declare war. Should we or not?
Amen.
Huh? Is that the type of militant attitude that we are going to have in order for us to win? And I'm going to show you right now why we don't win. Pull up number one for me, Spencer. Oh, man. Or Jonathan. I'm telling you, I feel this all over me today. Are you ready? Here's why we don't win. By the way, this is Joel Osteen's son. So now it's like, I guess ministries go from the king to the prince, so that when the king goes on retirement, then the prince is in charge of the ministry. And this kind of thing is happening all across America. These big mega church pastors set their children up in business. Somebody say amen for me. Somebody say amen for me.
Amen.
We see the president of the United States spit in the face of Christianity on Easter Sunday. By the way, I understand we shouldn't be celebrating Easter. I understand. On Resurrection Sunday, purposely spits in the face. And here's how the American church fights back. Are you ready? Jonathan Osteen. Go ahead.
And Osteen preach a false message and then watch these two pastors respond.
Someone that cheers us on and lifts us when we fall. When we know this, we begin to realize God's not distant. He's not unapproachable. He's not mad at us. He is madly in love with us.
You know, one of the banes of our preaching today is that the minister stands on television there in his pulpit and says, God loves you unconditionally. how in the world does the pagan interpret that statement?
Well, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to repent. I don't need Christ. I don't need an atonement. There are no strings attached. God loves me unconditionally. Unconditional love is what I enjoy from God.
It says he's angry with the wicked every day. Psalms, angry with the wicked every day. All of God's attributes operate in full at all times so that God can love and hate at the same time.
Subscribe if you want to see more videos like this.
Oh, where you been hearing that? Huh? God can love and can hate at the same time. All right? Pull up the nun for me, number 8. Pull up the nun. The nun. The nun. A nun. A nun. How come she gets this? And Joel Osteen doesn't get it. And most of American pastors don't get it. Why does this nun get this? Go ahead.
What I think is going on, this is my summary, but it's not my invention, this is the news, is that the group of globalists, everyone involved in this new reset, global economy, one world order, all of that, anywhere, and enforcing the jab, the COVID vaccine, which is a pathological weapon to destroy our body, that's what it is. And if you haven't felt it, if you've taken the COVID vaccine, you haven't, you feel just fine. That is working in your body to destroy it. There's an article today on LifeSite News, by, I think it's a Dr. McCullough. I have to look it up, who explains exactly what happens with those vaccines. And what I've gathered from all the reports is that the Soros, George Soros's of the world, the Bill Gates, everybody involved in this reset, so to speak, and the Holy Father is their spiritual leader. I don't hesitate to say it because I'm not revealing anything that hasn't been all over the news and the Vatican and every place else. Is that they want to control the world population, completely have us under their control. The world population is too big. And so this COVID vaccine has been invented to eliminate us, to kill off a great percentage of the population so that what's left, they have a reasonable hope. I hate to use those words of Bishop Barron, a reasonable hope of killing and controlling the rest of us. So I don't think such a horror book has ever been written, horror novel has ever been written, but it's true. And I believe it 100%. And I think our time is limited.
Get the point. Get the point. Get Joel Osteen back. Get his son back up there. Prince Osteen. Get him up there so he can talk to us. Yeah, we're starting to wake up. We're starting to wake up. By the way, pull up number 6. It's an email from Randy. Randy's proclamation. Randy, if you're out there, you went out, you did some staking this weekend, Randy. Hey, Randy, I got it up on the screen. Would you come in, brother, and read this proclamation that you guys read, Randy, when you went? Can you do that? Hey, folks, what is Resurrection Sunday really about? What is it really about, huh? What is it really about? Is it just health, wealth, happiness? Thank you for dying for me. Or is it about the expansion of a kingdom? Can you, Randy, can you read this or do you want me to?
No, you can read it, Coach. I'm here.
Okay. Yes, thank you, Lord, for your resurrection. We know you're living. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. The baby became a man, and man laid down his soul and body and offered it as a final Passover and became high priest and king forever. And because he's alive, death is no longer an issue. The last enemy is being destroyed even now, since 70 AD and the end of the old covenant. I hereby acknowledge and celebrate his incarnation. Folks, this is an Easter Sunday proclamation. I hereby acknowledge and celebrate his incarnation, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension and rule, etc., by commemorating it with participation every day of the week and every day of the year. Covenantal. Is the marriage covenant more special on the anniversary of the marriage? in my view, why limit this special relationship to just once a year? Why do we not celebrate the day Mary was been pregnant? Why do we not celebrate the day Christ ascended? Why do we not glory in the fact that Christ Jesus is ruling as king every single day? Why do we Sabbath rest only on one day per week? Is a Tuesday or a Thursday any less important? Galatians 4 says, but now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You want to go out and get more money and more stuff, so you're just more in bondage. Is that really what you want to do? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. Folks, this is the context Paul is referring to, where the day or the event is more important than the reason for the event or the day. The crucifixion of Christ wasn't so we can get together, celebrate the crucifixion, share eggs and candy with each other. No, no, no. It's the day that we raise him and honor him as king. He's currently reigning as king. Does anybody get it? Also, Colossians 2:20 says very similar. Even the pagans and the Luciferians rejoice on their festival days. This is a safe strategy just in case your reasons and traditions are missing the exact days. Randy, that is so powerful, powerful. How many of you this Sunday, wherever you went to church, how many of you celebrated the kinghood of Christ? Christ is king, rules Amen. And reigns over all the earth. Was that the celebration you had at your church? Or was it only just fiction and Jesus dying and being saved? Well, why did Jesus die to be saved? Why? Because our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread so we can go fight that battle for you, Lord. Feed us, Lord. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And Lord, don't lead us in temptation, but lead us to victory in Jesus, our Savior forever. Am I nuts? Am I nuts? Hey, real quick, Johnny. Am I right? Or is Prince Jonathan? Put him back up there. Is Prince Jonathan Osteen, is he right? Or am I right? Go ahead.
Watch Jonathan Osteen preach a false message and then watch these two pastors respond.
Someone that cheers us on and lifts us when we fall. When we know this, we begin to realize God's not distant. He's not unapproachable. He's not mad at us. He is madly in love with us.
You know, one of the...
Yeah, he just can't wait to cheer us on, can he, folks? He just can't wait to cheer us on. Listen, we're going to come back on the other side of it. I got a solution to some of this. Hope that some of you will join in with me on the other side of this. Hang in there. Coach Dave Live, we'll be right back. Okay, folks, thanks for hanging in there with me. I'm taping the segment for Bridie on. John, tell me when you're ready to go again, brother. So what do you think, folks? What do you think? That's where we are. So what is the solution to this mess that we find ourselves in? Look, I'm going to open it up here in a second. Bear with me, all right? If you would, do me a favor, Spencer. Pull up, Jonathan, I know who you are. Pull up number two, Jonathan. Pull up number two. Joe Biden, the president of the United States. Hang on a minute. Hang on, Johnny. I know I told you to do that. Pull up number five. Pull up number five first. March 30th, 1863. March 30th. Huh? What day did Biden read this thing? March 30th? What? 1863. President Abraham Lincoln proclaims an appointing a national day of fasting. We read this, Craig. Thank you, Craig, at Gettysburg. This is a proclamation from the President of the United States in 1863. What about transgenders? What about homophobes and bigots and hateful? And what about any of that? See, Joe Biden is a servant of Satan. Until you understand that. Whereas the Senate of the United States, devoutly recognizing the supreme authority and just government of Almighty God in all the affairs of men and of nations, has by resolution requested the president to designate and set apart a day of national prayer and humiliation. And whereas it is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations are only blessed whose God is the Lord. Abraham Lincoln, President of the United States, 1863. And in so much as we know that by his divine law, nations like individuals are subjected to punishments and chastisements in this world, may we not justly fear that the awful calamity of civil war, which now desolates the land, may be but a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sin. See, a presumptuous sin, folks, is doing something and believing, well, the Lord will forgive me. The Lord will forgive me. I'm going to go out on my wife and have sex with three women, but the Lord will forgive me. That's the sin of presumption, okay? That's what we do. God will forgive us. He's full of grace and full of mercy. He'll forgive us. That's presumptuous. To the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people, we have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We've grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we've forgotten God. We've forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. We have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we've become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming, preserving grace, too proud to pray to God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, to pray for clemency and forgiveness. Now, therefore, in compliance with the request and fully concurring in this view of the Senate, I do, by this my proclamation, designate and set apart Thursday, the 30th day of April, 1863, as a day of national humiliation, fasting, and prayer. And I do hereby request all the people to abstain on that day from their ordinary secular pursuits and to unite at their several places of public worship and their respective homes in keeping the day holy to the Lord and devoted, holy to the Lord and devoted to the humble discharge of the religious duties proper to that solemn occasion, not honoring transgenders. All this being done in sincerity and truth, let us then rest humbly in the hope authorized by the divine teaching that the united cry of the nation will be heard on high and answered with blessings, no less than the pardon of our national sins and the restoration of our now divided and suffering country to its former happy condition of unity and peace. A witness whereof I have hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of the United States to be affixed, done at the city of Washington, this 13th day of March in the year of our Lord, 1863, and of the independence of the United States, the 87th, by the President Abraham Lincoln. Kind of humbling, huh? Kind of humbling? Well, hang on a second. Pull up number two, Jonathan. It's Deuteronomy 28. Folks, you better get serious. We better get serious. Is something going to happen at the eclipse on April 8th? You know, such a confluence of people into the area. Millions and millions and millions of people are going to be traveling into the area where the eclipse is going to be seen. Millions and millions and millions and millions of people are going to be traveling from far away to be able to come and watch this eclipse. And boy, what an opportunity. Something cataclysmic to happen. Huh? Oh, yeah, baby. So Deuteronomy 28 says to us what we just read from President Lincoln. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I have commanded thee, this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations. And all these blessings shall come unto thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. Blessed shall be thy basket and store. I'm paraphrasing some of this, okay? Keep scrolling, Johnny. Blessed shalt thou be when you come in and when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies to rise up against you to be smitten before you. The Lord shall command the blessings upon you in your storehouses and all you set your hand to. The Lord shall establish thee as a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto you, if you shall keep his commandments. And all the people there shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in your goods, and in the fruit of your body, and the fruit of the cattle, and the fruit of the ground, and the land of which the Lord sware to his fathers to give you. The Lord shall open up unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto the land in his season, to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend unto many nations, and not have to borrow. Boom! And the Lord shall make thee the head, not the tail. You're going to be above, not beneath. And if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which I commanded this day, just observe and do them. You're not going to go aside from any of the words which I command you this day, not to the right, not to the left, or go after other gods, serve them. But it'll come to pass if you will hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and take you. If you don't do this, cursed shall you be in the city, cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be the basket in your store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of the land, increase of thy kind, flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shall thou be when you come in. Cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall send upon the cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all that thou settest thy hand to do unto, till thou be destroyed, until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings, which thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee. Can you say COVID? Until he has consumed thee from off the land, whether you go to possess it. And the Lord shall smite thee with consumption, with a fever, with an inflammation, with an extreme burning, with a sword, with a blasting, with mildew. They shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust from the heaven. It shall come down upon thee until you be destroyed. What was it Jonathan Osteen told us? Huh? God just loves every one of you. He's madly in love with you. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them, and you're going to have to take off running seven different ways. Just get away from them. And shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And your carcass, America, shall be meat unto all the fowls of the air, unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite you with a botch of Egypt, with the emerods, and with a scab, with the itch, whereof thou shalt canst be. Yeah, pretty loving God we're dealing with here, isn't it, friends? The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. You shall grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in the darkness, shall not prosper in your ways. You shall be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. You shall betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. How about that, huh? You shall build a house, and some Mexican's going to come and live in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but you're not going to get the grapes out of it. Your ox shall be slain before your eyes. They shall not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before your face. You shall not be restored to you. Sheep shall be given unto thine enemies. Can you say Ukraine? And thou shalt have none to rescue them. Your sons and your daughters shall be given unto another people, transgenders. And thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for all them all day long. There shall be no might in thy hand. The fruit of your land, all your labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up. And thou shalt be only oppressed, crushed away, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch, cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of your stinking head. The Lord shall bring thee, thy king shalt thou set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. I don't even know America anymore. I don't even know it. And there shall you serve other gods, wood and stone. You shall become astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all the nations whither the Lord shall lead. People all around the world are going to say, can you believe what's happened to America? Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, shall gather but little in, for the locust is going to consume it. Yeah, the government's going to consume it. They're going to give it to illegal aliens. They're locusts coming in. You shall plant, you'll plant vineyards and dress them, but you're not going to drink of the wine or the grapes because the worm's going to eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all your coasts. But you shall not anoint yourself with oil, for the oil shall cast its fruit. You're going to have sons and daughters, but you're not going to enjoy them because they're going to go into captivity. All the trees and fruit of the land shall the locust consume. And the stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high and shall come down very low. And the stranger shall lend to you, but you're not going to lend to him. He's going to be your head. Can you see bankers? Can you say Fed? Can you say bankers? Moreover, all of these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue you. The curses are going to pursue you and overtake you till you be destroyed. Why? Because you didn't hearken to the voice of the Lord, your God. Keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded you. It shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon your seed forever. Because you don't serve the Lord, God, and with joyness, gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore shall your enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee. What? Oh yeah, the Lord's going to send those enemies against you. In hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. He shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck and my neck until he hath destroyed you. The Lord shall bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. Nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. No, he'll show favor to the transgenders. And he's going to eat the fruit of your cattle and the fruit of your land until you be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kind, or the flocks of thy sheep, until he hath destroyed them. By the way, folks, all of this happened to Israel. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou hast trusted throughout all thy land, and he shall besiege you in your gates throughout the land which the Lord thy God has given you. And you shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of thy sons and thy daughters, which the Lord God has given you, in the siege and in the straitness wherein thine enemies shall distress thee. So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom, toward the remnant of his children which he shall leave. So that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left in the siege. The straitness wherein thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. Sorry if this isn't encouraging. The tender, delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom and toward her son, toward her daughter. Nobody stood up and defended the weak and the innocent. And your wife's going to look at you and say, what is wrong with you? Toward her young one that cometh out from beneath her feet, toward her children, which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness wherein thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thou plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuances. Moreover, He will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cling unto you. Also every sickness, every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until you be destroyed. And see, we can't say he didn't tell us. I told you so. Remember that song? And you shall be left in few numbers, whereas you were as the stars of heaven for a multitude, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. Why was it Jonathan Osteen said, God is madly in love with you? And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you and to you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you, to bring you to naught. You shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth unto the other, and there shall serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers even knew who those gods were, just wood and stone and stubble. And among these nations shall thou find no ease, neither shall thou sole of thy feet have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and a failing of eyes and a sorrow of mind. Now life shall hang in doubt because thee, and thou shalt fear day and night that thou hast none assurance of thy life. And in the morning thou shalt say, would God if it were even, and at even thou say, would God if it were morning, for the fear of thine heart were thou shalt fear, for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way where thou spoke unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more. And there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondwomen and bondmen, and no man shall buy you. Let's hope that's not true. Rochelle, come on in. I just got a couple minutes left.
Thanks, Coach. Wow. First of all, that wasn't great news, what you just read. I don't think Joel Osteen has ever read that part of the Bible.
Or his son, the prince. Prince Osteen.
So I learned a couple things this morning, Coach. First of all, on the day of trans visibility, you know, that's been around for 15 years.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it just so happened. Yeah, 15 years since March 31st has been Trans Day of Visibility. I didn't know this for the past 15 years. Only found out about it because it finally happened to land on Easter. And if, to tell you the truth, if Mr. Biden there would have kept his mouth shut, I don't think we would be talking about this right now. Him going out, proclaiming it, upset a whole bunch of people. So that's one thing that we just didn't know about it. We should have been pushing against this day from the beginning. I also didn't know about that, what you just shared, Abe, with the day of humiliation and fasting. They've basically taken it and just turned it into a day of humiliation.
That's right.
Too bad. Now all the circus clowns get to go play. But anyway, I think we need to be more awake. And if we would have known that the day of trans visibility would have threatened our resurrections week and our passion week, we may have maybe pushed back. I would like to hope we would have pushed back against this.
Yeah, listen, are you looking at me, Rochelle? They're after our children, folks. They're after our children. This is the world that's going to be left to our children. And what's the message we hear from the pulpit? We're banking on escape. We're banking on getting out of here. We better get out of here. We better hope we get out of here. Come on in, Joe, real quickly.
Yeah, Coach, read Deuteronomy 22:5.
You read it to me. I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm just coming off of memory.
Deuteronomy 22:5. What's it say, John? The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination to the Lord. Yeah, there you go. Huh? There you go. On Easter Sunday, Joe Biden acknowledges it and tells you to look at them and notice them. Folks, if there's ever been a poke in the eye against Almighty God. That poke in the eye was executed by the President of the United States right in front of all of us, besmirching Easter, dare I say it, Resurrection Sunday. The most high, whether it should be or not, it is a high holy day in modern Christianity. The President of the United States lifted his leg, hoisted his leg, peed all over it. Is it time for a more militant Christianity? What would that even look like? God bless you. See you next week. Thanks, John. All right, come on in, Craig. Now we're not doing Brideon. Now it's just us. Come on, Craig.
You can't provoke God. When you do provoke God, you suffer the condemnation by your own words. Ecclesiastes 7:17 says, do not be overly wicked nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? It is a good that you grasp this. Okay. Because Joe Biden, on top of signing the Marriage Act, you know, the redefinition of the Marriage Act, when he put his signature on it, he made that the law. His name is on it. On, I think it was December 14th of 2022, just before the Democrats lost the House, he signed his own condemnation and has provoked God. I would watch very closely in the days ahead, because he's marked himself, and what God does with it, we'll find out. But I have my own feelings on that. We are provoking God.
Is it time, folks? Is it time for a Christian rebellion? How can American churches continue to tell their people to pay taxes to this wicked Antichrist government? How do we do that? But we do. We do. They don't even understand the spiritual war and understand that it's the seed of the serpent. The devil is trying to consume the children of God. It's being done, as we talked about the other day, in what they call what? Asymmetrical warfare? Being tacked in every stinking direction, dare I say it, the white evangelical Protestant. Now listen, not the black evangelical Protestant, because for the most part, they're already on the other team. They're already all voting Democrat. Now hang on, because the Republicans ain't any better. But at least the Republicans fly a banner of Christianity, so as a voter, you can say, I'm voting for the Christian party. They're not Christian. They're not Christian. Okay, pull this up real quickly. Which one was it? Tucker Carlson. Maybe it's a standalone. Standalone. Where is it? Bear with me, folks. Transvisibility Day. Transvisibility Day. Is it unbelievable? I can't find it. Tucker Carlson. They invited Tucker Carlson to speak at his prep school he went to. By the way, $36,000 a year to go to the prep school. He and all of his children. He went, all their children went there. And they would only let Tucker Carlson speak to his prep school if he did it on tape so they could edit it before he spoke. That's where we are. The entire government, schools have been given over to Lucifer. Given over to Lucifer. And we come on in, Roger Gates. I'm sorry if I say the same thing over and over and over, but most people still don't get it. Huh? Pastor Les, at least Pastor Les spoke out about it. But we need a pastor to stand in the pulpit and say, I ask all of you not to pay another cent to the government. Anybody think I'm wrong? Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. That should be the response of every Christian church in America. We no longer support that. We will no longer pay our tax dollars to that. That's what I said. Roger, come on in. I'm sorry.
Yes, Coach. You know, in Deuteronomy, it tells you that if you obey his commandments, that you'll eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured with the sword. That's his people. You don't hear that. Hear that from Joel Osteen. You don't hear it from the churches. But
play that, Jonathan. Yeah. Play that Prince again. Get the Prince Osteen up there again. Keep going. Keep going.
Yeah, here's the thing, Coach. This eclipse, we've had the Luciferians running things for so long. This eclipse, to me, is the Lord's way of saying to people in our country, better repent because I'm taking over.
I'd say this. It's some kind of sign, isn't it? It's some kind of sign.
Yeah.
Wasn't the earth going to fall apart? I don't know, but it is certainly a sign in the heavens that something is up, brother. I would agree with you on that. I'd agree with you. Hang on here real quick. Mark, I'm coming right to you. Let's hear from Prince Osteen.
Watch again. Jonathan Osteen preach a false message and then watch these two pastors respond.
By the way, hang on. Do you have any idea how many of your pastors wish they were him? Huh? Do you have any idea how many pastors wish they were him with all that money and all that prestige and all that influence? And he just gets to be it because he's Joel's son. Go ahead.
On and lifts us when we fall. When we know this, we begin to realize God's not distant. He's not unapproachable. He's not mad at us. He is madly in love with us.
You know, one of the banes of our...
Get him out of there! Get him off my screen! Come on in, Mark.
Yeah, Coach, I lost it, but you're on to something here, and it's just amazing that it's a business. The chapel is a business. The church knows where to be found. You know, absolutely.
It's what, huh? But hey, by the way, have you thought about this? They already have I bit my tongue. They already have a stinking month to celebrate it. They have a month to celebrate it. And now they get a day, Easter Sunday, and you cannot connect the dots of what's going on. That Lucifer rules in the halls of government. You don't get that. You don't pick that up. Your pastor ain't saying a damn thing about it and doing nothing, going on like nothing happens, coloring eggs and selling, giving away free Easter eggs, dropping them out of helicopters. Dale, I know you didn't drop any eggs out of helicopters.
Coach, I dropped some truth bombs. My wife just said while she's listening, she goes, well, my pastor did. Brother, I came out, rebuked Joe Dumbbell Biden, and I said the government has declared war on the kingdom of God. Are Amen, you ready? Are you ready?
Couldn't be more
and clear. Then I went and got my sign, the Natural Family Strong, and said, I just purchased 300 or 30 of these, and each one of you are getting them. Are you guys ready? And I said, we will preach that whole month message. There's no doubt about it. But I said, not one person in that whole Democratic Congress and in that White House came out and said anything against this guy. Not one person.
Where's Jim Jordan? Where's Jim Jordan?
Come on. Then I read, right, Psalms 2. It said the kings of the earth, they have conspired to gather against him. They've declared war. And let me tell you what, the Lord scoffs at him.
Dale, I think he's tapping his toe. Do you ever get mad and tap your toe? I think the Lord's tapping his toe. I think so. Come on in, Randy.
Coach, I want equal time. I think we need to promote my pastor. We need to promote Dale. We need to promote the pastors that coach that are really doing what's right in the real church.
That's right.
Because all when we just see them, it's pretty depressing. And we need to see, we let people see the other side. So we need, if we give Joel Osteen and the fake church 50% time, we need to show Dale doing something down there in his church that's righteous and just, and show what we're doing and give equal time, because the people can hear this, but until they see what the right way, they're still kind of lost.
Randy, they're looking for it. I think they know the right way. They're looking for it. By the way, that's why, pardon me real quick, Randy, didn't mean to interrupt. Mark down on your calendars, Saturday night, April 20th is first Saturday Night Live. Mark it down on your calendars. Tell everybody you know in the Columbus area, Saturday Night Live. Where what? Where we're picking up where the church left off. We're bringing them together at Liberty Mills. I'll get you more information on it. By the way, April 20th. and May 4th. We're scheduled the first two weeks apart, April 20th, Saturday Night Live, picking up where the church left off. Put that, I'll tell you more about it later. And I cut you off, didn't mean to. Go ahead, Randy.
No, Coach, that's it. I'm done.
All right, good job. Saturday Night Live, man, picking up where the church left off. Hey, folks, this is going to be a great opportunity for you folks who are somewhat local to bring somebody to what's really going on. It ain't a church. Come on, Roger, then Mark.
Dave, it's, you know, watching this unfold over the weekend, it's like they purposely
did it, Roger.
Want to challenge God, too. They purposely, it's like they're looking for a fight. They're looking for God to bring down his wrath on them.
They hate Christ, and they hate those who represent him.
Okay. It's a purposeful, intentional, in-your-face, and they show no remorse, no fear, nothing of the retribution that's coming.
Roger, think about how many Black American Christians are voting Democrat and got no clue what's going on. Huh? Hey, folks, that's because it says in 2 Thessalonians, the Lord will send a strong delusion if they believe a lie, right? So Black Christians think the Democratic Party is their home. That's how screwed up we are. Mark Trump, come on in.
Yeah, I'd like to go back to the eclipse. That's what I lost a minute ago.
Okay.
I met you during that eclipse 7 years ago. Coach, for seven years, it's been that you have been preaching. And now we got another eclipse. Now think about it. What happened to Nineveh?
Wow.
They got an eclipse. And then a week before the second eclipse, what was Nineveh people thinking? Were there preachers out warning them about this event? Just as a chance to wake people up. Well, in Nineveh, you know what happened is they didn't wake up, Coach. Nope, they were visited by fireballs. The only time it's ever happened over land. Okay, so eclipse or no, people aren't paying attention. And if you don't relate it to the stories in the Bible and understand that there's nothing new, you know, people are going to be surprised when things happen.
Amen.
You know, so
amen.
I just wanted to share that about the eclipse. Coach, it's been 7 years. What an amazing ride. Huh?
What an amazing, huh? Seven. By the way, Mark, listen, a lot of stupid white union workers go to church and vote Democrat, too. It's not just Blacks. But we know that Blacks are a voting block, a solid voting block of the Democratic Party. That's not just Blacks.
D-D-D-D-D-D. R-R-R-R-R-R. That's it. How can any binary system be truthful? It's impossible for humans to be binary like that.
It's crazy. It's sick, right? Unless the Lord sends a strong delusion they'd believe a lie, worship and serve the creature more than the creator, then that could happen. Kevin, come on in, then Lorianne. Quickly, Kevin, you guys got a couple minutes left here.
All right. So I just want to show how premeditated and purposefully timed this was for this year. Several years ago, there was a transgender activist that came out and declared March 31st to be this transactive visibility day thing, right? Well, we know that Easter Sunday falls on different dates on different years, just like Thanksgiving. Well, you didn't see Biden declare this last year, or the year before, or the year before that. They waited until Easter fell on March 31st to make this declaration. That's how premeditated this is. It's
amen. Amen. 7 years ago, Marcus. That's amazing, Mark. 7 years ago. Come on in, Lorianne, quickly.
The eclipse is going to be going over the same town that the in Texas that the red heifers were donated to Israel. If you look it up, the eclipse is going to literally go over that place where they sent the red heifers.
Okay, so here's what I think. Again, it's all just signs, right? We have no excuse to not get our butts spanked. We have no excuse. Ray LeBlanc, come on in.
Well, one thing we can do, Coach, is what was spoken of by JR, the natural family. Go before your city council, talk to your mayor, and try to get a proclamation. I did this. I contacted our local mayor. She was very excited about my proposal on this, and she's bringing it before the board, and I'm waiting for a response back. And let's push our own agenda.
That's right.
Not back down. Like, back.
By the way, anybody heard anything from Mike Johnson? Huh? Anybody heard anything from him? Anybody heard anything from Jim Jordan? Anybody heard anything at all about that? Not standing up for our faith. Anybody heard that out there? Huh? Not a damn word. Not a word. See you tomorrow.